Let us go into the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The book of Nehemiah, the sixth chapter. Nehemiah chapter 6, we read verse 8 and verse 9. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Verse 9. Very important. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. Many of us do know the story of Nehemiah building the walls of Jerusalem. The passage that we read, the Bible teaches us that at that time, the enemies of the work of God had repeatedly tried to get him away from the assignment. And the scriptures teach us that they had used different tactics like, come over, we have some things that we need to talk to you. And Nehemiah had always refused that I will not go down because I have a business to take care of. Then finally they come up and conceive a very interesting trick. The Bible teaches us that they came up with a lie which was documented. Wrote a letter that we know what you are doing, declaring yourself as the next ruler in Judah. And we know that you are hiring people to spread such propaganda. And the scriptures teach us that when Nehemiah received the message, he says, there is no such thing as you are talking about. I know the reason why they are doing what they are doing. They are doing so. Please, I want you to understand the literal translation of the ninth verse of this passage. They wanted to make us afraid so that our hands will be weak and the work of the Lord will not be done. So God strengthen our hands. In that passage, Nehemiah shows us that the trick of the enemy was to inject fear in the people of God, which had the capacity to cause them to disengage from what God had assigned them to do. And then the work of the Lord will not be done because the hands of the laborers will be weak. And this morning I want to share with you about what fear can do in causing us to fail in the vision that God has sent us to do. The Bible teaches us that the men of God understood one thing, that if we are afraid, then our hands will be weak and the people will disengage and the assignment and the vision will be abandoned. Now, I want you to understand that God does not desire for that to happen. And I want you to understand that this is the reason why God does not want you to be afraid. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Now, do you know that actually sometimes we think that all the time the devil wants to kill us? But I want you to understand that it's not always that the devil wants to kill us. In fact, if he can get us just to be losers, it's good enough. You have to realize that if the enemy can incapacitate you from achieving what God has laid ahead of your life, that is victory enough on his part. God does not want you to be afraid. He does not want you to fear anyone. He does not want you to fear the enemy. He does not want you to fear the task that he has put in front of you. He does not want you to fear the vision that he has laid ahead of you as a people. God does not want you to operate out of fear, because if you are afraid, you will abandon and you will be weak and you will fail. Now, do you know why fear is a horrible thing in Scripture? Because actually, according to the Word of God, fear is the opposite of faith. As a matter of fact, I teach that fear is faith going in the wrong direction. You have to understand that God's desire is for his people to operate from a point of faith. He wants you to be a people of faith. He wants you to trust him without fear, without timidity, without anything scaring you, but operating from a place of boldness. Fear makes you tremble. The hands of the laborers will be weak. And you know, actually, it's amazing because they teach us that when a person is afraid, or even when an animal is afraid, it generates a chemical in the body called adrenaline. I will never forget, years ago, a Rastafarian told me that that's the reason why they do not eat meat, because everything that has to die has to be scared first. Now, adrenaline actually is a strange chemical, but the natural consequence of that is that it immobilizes the function of the body. The glands and the tendons become weak. That is the reason why when a person is scared, literally their knees can be knocking, which means they are no longer at a place of in position of strength anymore. They lose confidence. That's why years ago I would teach that my best definition of fear is the desire to run away. There is something about you that prompts you to be destabilized, and you are no longer standing in a position of strength. The book of Proverbs teaches us that the unrighteous or the wicked flee when no one is chasing them. There is something about being afraid that makes you no longer to be standing at a place of strength. Now, do you know that fear does not come freely? It's always injected in people by something. There are many people that never operate from a place of confidence. When people are afraid, something has injected fear in them. Do you know that everything in life is actually designed for us to be timid? Whenever you look at the way we were raised, our teachers would use authority in order to intimidate us into order. Our bosses threaten us all the time in order to keep us in line. Everything that you have around you uses intimidation as a means of making sure that you function the way that they want. We are a people that came out of years of subjugation. And those that were oppressing us would make sure they would use terror in order for us to stay in line. They would keep us in subjugation. And over the years that we receive this in our life, it stays within our system. Somehow, our minds, out of years of repression, get used to the idea that you are supposed always to follow in line, and intimidation is the instrument that is used to keep you like that. So there is a culture of fear that is already in the system of the majority of us. Do you know what? I want to say this as a black person. There is something that is almost common in our people all over the world. Somehow, our confidence was robbed out of many, many years of oppression, and out of many, many years of being told that you're second class and you must follow someone else. And because of that, there is something about fear that exists within our systems that is actually strange, and it works against the principle of faith. You think God is a God of a certain culture? No, he's not. God is the same God for all people all over the world. Faith works and produces results for anyone on the face of the earth. This book teaches us that whosoever believeth, which means no matter where you live, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter who you are, if you believe the principles of the word of God as they are laid in scripture, you will ultimately reap the promise of the word of God. Yeah. But why do we fail to operate in the principles of faith as God's word encourages us? The reason is because we operate from fear. No wonder we cannot function in faith. Now look. Do you know that when you look at athletics and games around the world, we love the Olympics even from our home country. And every time when you watch, have you ever noticed that there are games where you will never find black folk? Now, I can tell you the truth that if you are watching boxing, you are definitely going to find a lot of black folk. If you are going to watch athletics, you are definitely going to find a lot of black folk. But move a little further and get into something like water surfing. You are standing on a thin plank in the middle of an ocean and flying high, and there is no tree to hold on to. There is no one to call out to. Move into motorcycle racing. You are driving a Kawasaki 450 miles an hour, and you are turning on a bend, your knees 1 inch away from the ground, one slight mistake and you are a funeral. You can look as long as you want, you're not going to see many black folk in those games. Now, go into sky surfing. An aeroplane takes you right into the sky, And somewhere at many, many feet up there, they release you in order to sail in the sky. There is no tree to hold on to. There is absolutely nothing. You can look as long as you want. You're not going to see many black folk in those kind of games. Now, where do you find us? You will find us in athletics. When I am tired, I walk. You will find us in boxing. When I feel the pinch, I remain lying down. In other words, there is something about our culture that has trained us to play safe. We do not risk so much. Do you think that is right? No, I want you to know that it's against the principle of faith, because apparently, in order to work with God, you need to be a risk taker. You need to know how to step into the waters. Because if you cannot, and you play safe all the time, and you do what is manageable, and you never do anything that is risky, there is a problem. Now, you know, in my country, we have what we call the Victoria Falls. It's one of the greatest wonders on earth. And people from all over the world, they come to the Victoria Falls. It is the deepest gorge there is on the planet earth. Now, people come from all over Australia, Europe, the Americas, anywhere. And one of the greatest spectacles at Victoria Falls is called bungee jumping. Now, what they do, you're standing on a bridge. They tie your ankle with a rope. Then they throw you hundreds of feet going down into this deep gorge. Now, I can tell you the truth. I have had many teams of people coming from this country. And I'll never forget, I had a team of my good friends, my African-American pastors, and we were standing on this bridge. I said, guys, this is a great opportunity. You will never have this gorge anywhere else in the world. It's time to bungee jump. I will never forget what the other brother said to me. He looked at me, he said, Pastor Klopas, I will not do this because you know why? I am worried about the sermon on my funeral. He says, I'm envisioning a situation where a man is standing and he would say, look at this fool that died trying to jump on something that had nothing to... Now, you know what? I looked at, I said, look at all these people that are bungee jumping. The majority of them are people from everywhere else. But look, I know exactly where the story is. Our people cannot take risks. We never do anything unless it's safe. We are too careful about everything. Because of that, that's why we find ourselves limited whenever God takes us into new arenas. Did you hear what God said this morning? That this church is in transition. Many of you fear change because you cannot afford to step away from your comfort zone. God wants to take you higher, but to do that, you need to deal with fear, because without disengaging from where you are, you will not get where God wants you to go. Now, let me tell you this. Some few years ago, I was preaching in New York. This is a white church, and I will never forget something that happened that day. This was just after 9/11, and one of the men I did not know is a member of the FBI in that house. After the service, he comes to me, and this is a white guy, and he looks at me and he says to me, I have something that I wanted to talk to you about. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, I work for the Federal Bureau, and out of what you were teaching, I want to say something to you. Do you know that the FBI today does not put black people as one of the most risky people as far as terrorism is concerned? I'm looking at him and I said, what do you mean by that? He said, because we found out that black people are not stupid. Now, you know, I'm thinking, this guy is treading into dangerous territory, because in case he has forgotten, I'm a black person. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, we found out that you can never get a black man to fly an aeroplane into a building without answering questions to him that says, where will I be when all these things will be happening? Now, you know, at the end of the day, when I heard that, I realized why they are saying that we don't take black people in the highest category on terrorism, because we understand you can never convince a black person to take a risky job. He calculates his chances very well. He will ask you a dozen questions about what did you say? Did you say the plane will hit the building? Where will I be when all those things will be happening? We are a people that are too careful. And because we are careful, sometimes it robs us the ability to function as God wants us to. Because we take care, we worry about everything else. Do you know, fear has the ability to incapacitate you, even in the presence of potential. Oh. Even when God has given you everything you need, even when there is skill and dexterity, but in the presence of fear, a winner can become a loser. You know what? Years ago, there was an old movie that they did. I can't remember the name. It was something like Oceans on Fire. That taught me a lot of things. And what they were showing is a story about explosives that were under the waters. They went to the best sea diving school of the world to get the best sea divers on the planet to get those explosives out. These men were skilled. They knew everything in the book about surviving the waters. But actually, every one of them, when they would go down and they look at the explosives, they would say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. Every one of them went, and he said, I'm not going to do it. Finally, the man who had the assignment thought, where can I get people that can do this job? These ones had skill, but they didn't have the guts. And he decided to go to jail. Negotiated that if any one of them wanted to be involved in the project, then they would be taken out of jail. You'd rather be somewhere doing something heroic than to stay in prison. You know what? When he went there, he found the guys. And in fact, he was interviewing each and every one of them. These were ugly men who could do anything on earth. I remember one of them, he looked at him. He asked him, why are you here? He said, I killed a man. He said, why did you kill the man? He said, I don't like him. Now, when you find people like that, even though they did not have the skill, now watch what they did. They took them, this man did not have the knowledge of sea diving. So what they did is they took them from a place and rolled them because of their courage. Because they showed them the assignment. He said, can you do this? He said, I'll do anything you want me to do. You give me the job, I'll carry it out. I don't care what. Now, what you see is the courage was already in them, but they didn't have the knowledge on sea diving. You do much better when you take a person who already has the courage and then you give him the potential or the skill to achieve. But when a man only has skill without courage, he can still be a loser in spite of the presence of potential. You need to know that people are afraid. In this country today, America is supposed to be known by the epitome, the home, the land of the free and the home of the brave. I hope that is still true. You know what you need to understand? As a matter of fact, over the years since the advent of 9/11, this country has been hounded by fear than anything else. And the majority of the terrorists out there, they know one thing: Americans are afraid. No wonder why they can send you powder, which is nothing other than sometimes oatmeal, and you evacuate the whole school, you shut down airports, you do all these things. They know that you're scared. When most of the times they are doing nothing about it, it's just causing you to be afraid. Because when you are afraid, it's good enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, right now, there's a lot of things that are being abandoned in the kingdom of God. And you have, since the collapse of the capital markets at the beginning of the year, you know, I find people panicking all over the place, like as though all of you were trading on the stock market. What you have to understand is, oh, we cannot do this for the kingdom. We cannot do this anymore. Have you heard the capital market, blah, 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 blah. Even those who had never traded a single day on the stock market, they're running all over the place with fear. Listen to me. You don't have to be afraid because God is on your side. That's all that you need to understand. The thing that you fear will kill you. I'll never forget a woman in our church one time told me that, oh, I can't drive. I said, why don't you drive? She said, I'm afraid of the accident. So no wonder why I don't have a driver's license. I don't even drive a car. I said, I'm so sorry, because you have to make a choice, either to die driving the car yourself or to die as a passenger. But the problem is, if you are afraid that much, it's very probable fear may actually kill you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that the Bible teaches us that we should not fear any man. The scriptures does show us that woe unto him who is afraid of man. The Bible, you know, when you think about why God does not want a man to fear a man, because at the end of the day, ministry is to human beings. And if you're afraid of people, naturally you will be incapable of delivering anything. You have to understand that God wants you to be free from the fear of men and the fear of anything else, because we were called to speak and minister the gospel to men. You know, have you ever imagined what was happening in school? When I was in school, we had what we call high school debates. I can imagine what it used to be like. You would spend hours memorizing your entire speech. And you know every detail. You know when to stop, when to pause, and when to raise your voice. Suddenly, your name is called out in the auditorium. You stand up and you look at people who are looking back at you. And immediately your memory is erased and you can't remember a single word about everything that you memorized. Now, how does that happen? Can you possibly explain to me how it would be possible that human beings just gazing at you would obliterate your memory? Do you know the reason why? That's what fear can do. Even when knowledge is available, fear has the ability to incapacitate delivery. It is a way of stamping or holding back the very things that you actually already have. I was in South Africa a few years back. This is in a real Boer church. Now, you may not understand this because many of you may not know enough about what apartheid was. Apartheid in South Africa was the worst form of racism ever on the face of the earth. And they invite me to this church, large church, all white Boers, Afrikaners. It's the first time I have ever been there, and I'll never forget what it took for me to go there. They met me, the pastor calls me in the office. He says, I need 30 minutes with you just to prepare you for what's going to be happening. He says, you know what? This is a church, and he makes me aware. For the first time, I realized that it was one of the churches that actually taught that it's impossible for a black man to be saved. They had a doctrine that a black person cannot be redeemed. He's not a candidate of salvation. He says, I want you to understand this before you go into our church, that this is the kind of heritage that we have. And please be tolerant if you find some of the people nasty and having a difficulty with you. You are the first black person to ever stand in our pulpit. Now, you know what? That even agitated me more. Now, I went into this pulpit, 4,000 people sitting in the mezzanine floors, and I preached that message that morning. When we were done, I was standing in the foyer. One of these men, his eyes are twitching and he's looking at me from a distance. And people are coming through, maybe giving a handshake and talking and giving remarks about the meeting. Finally, he walks over to me like that. And he stretches his hands to me. He says, thank you very much. That was a good message. Like, as though he wants to get away from me. Then he asks me one question. He says, I have one question that I want to ask you. I said, go ahead. He says, how come you were not afraid? I said, do you know why I was not afraid? Because there were no snakes or lions in that meeting. It was only human beings. And I am not afraid of men. You don't ask me about why I was not afraid when there were only people in that house. The Bible says, woe unto him that is afraid of men. This scripture teaches us that the righteous are as bold as a lion. That's what the word of God teaches us. I have nothing to fear except fear itself. You have to understand the Bible says we have not been given the spirit of fear to bondage, but we have been given the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The scriptures teach us that the devil is an intimidator. He is not as dangerous as he sounds. The Bible says he walks around roaring like a lion. That means he is not a lion, but he borrows the voice of a lion in order to intimidate the people of God. But when we come to a place of understanding that the enemy wants to scare us out of business, he wants to intimidate us, he wants us to lay down the tools for the commission and disengage from what God has sent us to do, it will not happen. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, on verse 39, we are not of those that shrink back. We are not of those that turn backward, but we are those that press forward, those that believe, those that have faith unto the salvation of the soul. That is what Nehemiah is saying today. He says, man, I will not be afraid. If you were hoping that you could scare me out of the job, out of the vision, out of the task that God has put ahead of us, it's not going to happen. We are pressing forward. We are not of those that shrink backwards unto perdition. We are those that press forward and believe God for the greatest and the best that God has put ahead of our lives. We do not be afraid at all. We fear nothing except to fear itself. We fear no man. You know what? Every stage of vision that God places you, and as the Lord takes you to higher ground, that's where the problem is. You know, every time when you think about it, how many people fail to do what they're supposed to do in life? I have even met a man who told me, I told him that, you need to be coming for the Great Commission. We need to be. He said to me, I love what you say, Pastor, but I only go to a place where a vehicle can reach. He said, I never go anywhere where a car cannot get to. If there is no car that can get across the Atlantic, I'm not coming there. Now, what I'm understanding is his fear for a fly. He is afraid of heights and flying. Oh my God! Somehow we have to know that if we don't break fear, we fail. You have to understand that God is taking us somewhere. And you know the things that God is taking us to, it's higher ground than where we are. No wonder why you need to be ready for the heights. And prepare yourself for the greatest challenge and know that I am not afraid. We make no apology for the goodness of God. But you know, as we rise, we ascend knowing for sure that this is eagle territory. We belong there. And we have no fear. We are not dizzy. We belong there. We are not disengaging. We are not laying down tools. We are climbing to the mountain. We believe God has called us for that. And we are ready for it. Do not be afraid. God bless you.